Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael back here with the Faith and Freedom Show. We've got a guest who's a local of in Hernando County, and he lives out by Hunter's Lake. There was a news article came out on Sunday, September 13th of this year. Hernando County, the search is over, it said, for Pasco County man who was wanted on several warrants. It said that on Saturday, the day before, that would be September 12th, deputies found the body of 35-year-old James Rayford in Hunter's Lake in Spring Hill. He said he was last seen alive on Thursday. Now watch this. He was last seen alive on Thursday when deputies received a tip that indicated he was fishing at the lake. When they arrived, he took off in a kayak. A short while later, deputies said Rayford got out of the kayak, and our guest will tell you that got out of the kayak was probably a broad statement that may need to be colored a little bit, got out of the kayak and started swimming. Then he came up for air several times, then vanished. Rayford had spent a third of his life behind bars for selling drugs, burglary, and grand theft. So I don't think he was selling burglary. He also had a history of escaping law enforcement. He got away from deputies twice earlier this year. It reminds me of a character that I saw on Hogan's Heroes who kept escaping all the time. And not to make light of Mr. Rayford's demise, which a situation like that is always tragic. So, hey, thank you. Brian Moore gave us a call. He's a local of the Hunter's Lake who has some information that he thought people need to know about and just he thought was a little bit of a point on this story that may need to be looked into. So thank you for being here today, Brian Moore. And so go ahead and tell us what stirred you to start checking into this in the first place.
Well, thank you, David, for having me. In the initial radio, or not radio, but newspaper reports, they indicated that he was armed and dangerous and that he had jumped or fallen overboard and apparently either drowned or escaped. And they quoted his cousin as saying that, first of all, he was an expert swimmer. He's 6'2 and 200 pounds. And secondly, he couldn't harm a fly in the sense that he was a criminal, but it was for petty thievery items. And they listed in the newspapers such things as not showing up in court, avoiding or violating his parole, and having some, marijuana drug transactions, but nothing of an armed nature. So it made me wonder, well, you know, why we're getting two messages here. This guy doesn't seem to be that dangerous, and then he's an expert swimmer, yet the sheriff's department says somewhat a thing of the opposite. So that's what motivated me, since I live on the lake, to ride my bike around the neighborhood and ask my neighbors if they saw anything that day that was contrary to what the first reports were indicating.
So it's just a matter of you living there, and it was an interesting story. And so now I kind of missed something there. I was trying to read a previous article while you were talking. I apologize for that. Did you say that you found out about his expert swimming and his passive nature? Did you actually know somebody, the family member, beforehand, or did you see that in an article?
I did not know any family member. I just saw it in the first article that came out in the newspaper the following day.
Okay.
They quoted the cousin, a girl, saying that he was an expert swimmer and that he was not this armed and dangerous person that the sheriffs has made him out to be.
Okay, so you obviously saw the controversy. And obviously you have neighbors, and I guess you know which ones hanging around would come outside to look at some activity like that. So tell us what happened at the lake, because let me just tell you, when I look at this article here, it says it's a previous article, and this is on BayNews9.com, and it says that he was paddling toward the dock, saw the police, and he started paddling out. And then he says he jumped into a kayak and began paddling out to an island in Hunter Lake. Then he says, the deputy said, then he jumped out of the kayak and into the water. And they saw him come to the surface of the water several times, but then they lost sight of him. So this lays out an idea that the deputies went to meet him at the dock, and then he turned around and then for some reason got out of the boat and then eventually disappeared. That's essentially the story that they've laid out to us. Tell us what you found out.
That's correct. And then in my almost immediately upon my riding around the neighborhood next to the lake and talking to people, I began to get a different impression. There were two eyewitnesses within a day that told me that the helicopter came down in a very menacing fashion in pursuing him, and that there were no boats pursuing him, and that it hovered over him, and in fact got so close, one eyewitness said that the boat was hit by the helicopter and blew up in the air and turned over and knocked him out, and then it hovered over and pushed him down underneath the water. The second eyewitness, who I found out the following day, said that, yes, the boat came up into the air and flipped, but that he was closer to the event. He said that the helicopter and the power of the propellers and the blades probably created the pressure for the boat to explode and flip up in the air and then pushed him under the water. It was very close to him, but he did not think that the helicopter touched the boat or him. But he said his first statement to me was that the pilot killed the fugitive. It was obvious to him that it was so menacing and hovering and so close, and that the pressure of such a large piece of equipment on him caused the guy to, lose control of the situation.
So as
they also didn't seem to pursue his disappearance aggressively. As had occurred several years ago when four fishermen capsized and one disappeared.
Hey, we're going to talk about that in a second.
The sheriff's office spent a lot of time in helicopters.
Okay, Brian, we're going to talk about that in a second. So I want you to, I don't know if folks, you can hear this, but Brian continues to talk. I have no idea why he can't hear me. So let's just tune in to see what he says.
The second eyewitness that I spoke with said to me he thought it was because the guy was treated as a second-class citizen. I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, he was a fugitive and he was black. And he thought that there was some different attitude of treating the guy. In fact, there may have been some resentment by the sheriff's department toward this guy because he had a reputation for being an escape artist and had been able to flee and escape from the sheriff's and the several times in both Pasco and, I guess, in Hernando County.
Okay, we're going to hold that thought, that last second thought, what kind of came off of something I said. I want to get back to the facts part of it. I mean, there's a lot of conjecture here, and we'll see what part is fact, which is conjecture. But you never know. It seems like it may be reasonable, but it might be unreasonable. The thing is, the two witnesses that you told me, you said when I talked to you about this earlier, you said one of them had binoculars. Was the one closer? Did the one closer have binoculars, or the one that was farther away?
No, to the contrary, the one furthest away had the binoculars. The one closest to the event used his naked eye.
How close was he?
Well, I was there at his house, and he's at the end of a cul-de-sac, and I would say, 300 feet, 400 feet, maybe.
Okay, like a football field, a little bit more, maybe.
Maybe even less, 200 feet. It was, the lake's not that big.
Okay.
And the island is right in the distance. In fact, the Pasco County, the neighboring county, brought in divers after he disappeared, and they parked their vehicle right in his driveway and used his backyard as the operation point to conduct a brief search before darkness settled in.
Okay, so it's
around 5 o'clock, I think, when the whole event transpired.
Okay, so that's a close access then. Now, you did say, this is, I got to tell our folks what you're listening to. I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is the Faith and Freedom Show. Brian Moore is a neighbor of the Hunter's Lake, and he read some information that really made him interested in finding out more about Mr. Rayford's death and his supposed trying to jump out of a boat to get away from the police. Now, it may have been that he jumped out. I can think of, if they say it's a kayak, I can actually picture in my mind those plastic kayaks that you can have around lakes. And I could see a situation where a helicopter would get so close that the blast from the rotors would upset a plastic kayak or even a canoe. And you said that somebody said it actually flew up out of the water. Now I could see I could see somebody flipping over.
It exploded out of the water, and he had the impression that the helicopter hit it, that caused it to explode up in the air.
Okay.
The second witness said that it flew up into the air, but from the pressure of the velocity of the blades, and he said he did not see it actually hit the boat.
Now the second witness said that he didn't see the helicopter hitting the man, but he got the impression that the pilot deliberately put the man in a situation that was potentially deadly force, right? Or injurious? Is that the impression you got?
Yes, he used the word he hovered over him in a menacing fashion. And in fact, he said his first statement, the pilot killed that guy. He came down and he menaced him and he kept down right on top of him. Now, the second witness is a 73-year-old man, but he's an avid water skier that goes out in the lake every day. And so he's familiar with the lake and the water, and he seems to be quite alert physically and mentally, even despite his age of being 73. He also warned the deputies after they couldn't find the fugitive, not to go on the island because they were thinking of bringing canines and going over in the nearby island, thinking that maybe if the fella escaped there. He said it's thick brush and it's just snakes and alligators, and you don't want to go there. And they didn't. They took his advice and didn't go there that evening.
Huh.
But it seems like that there was some incompetence or something to be questioned here because of how they administered and initiated the search. Then they lost him, but probably because they caused his death. And then they told the community that they couldn't find him and that he was, you know, armed and dangerous. And the whole community was scared and intimidated for 2 days, not knowing what was happening. And he surfaced on Saturday morning. Thursday was when the event occurred, and his body surfaced, I think, about 12 noon on Saturday.
Okay, so and obviously you found out from the sheriff's department that they're still in the process or have not yet completed an autopsy to find out whether he suffocated from drowning or whatever the kind of asphyxiation you'd have there.
That's correct. I mean, it's my understanding.
And it's possible.
That the autopsy is still ongoing.
Okay.
I had asked the eyewitnesses if they would be willing to share their information with the press, and initially they said they would. However, when the press went to them a day or two later, they clammed up, and one of them did indicate that they didn't feel comfortable talking to the police because they felt that they were intimidated if they were criticizing the sheriff's authorities. So in a way, it's been a difficult situation because the sheriff's department has asked me. I sent them a letter asking them to conduct an investigation, and they wanted the eyewitnesses, and I have been urging the eyewitnesses to share their information both with the press and the police, but now the eyewitnesses are really clamming up, and one of them even says that to leave them alone and not bother them. And they were from New York, and in New York you just don't criticize the police because it comes back to haunt you.
Okay, hey Brian, we're going to take a break,
very
folks.
Careful.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to be back with the Faith and Freedom Show here on the Eagle 104.3 FM. And we're going to be talking about Brian Moore. We're going to find out a little bit more information. Do you have any information about this? You give us a call at 888-850-1872.